The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey there, it's Gary Parrish. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, leaky black. The Eye on College Basketball podcast is presented by Jersey Mike's. Jersey Mike's, a sub above. David Cobb is here with me, and we're back on this Friday morning because Kentucky's coaching search has reportedly ended. John Calipari out. Probably heard about that. He's at Arkansas now. Mark Pope is going to be the next head coach of the Wildcats. The contract is reportedly 5 years, worth $5.5 million per year. David Cobb, let's just start with your thoughts on Mitch Barnhart declining, according to our colleague Matt Norlander, to aggressively pursue Billy Donovan to instead end this search by hiring Kentucky graduate Mark Pope.
Well, I think there's some things to like about Mark Pope, but it is a bit of an underwhelming hire, especially at that price tag. That's going to put him at or among or around the top 10 highest paid coaches in college basketball. And I don't think he was on anyone's top five whenever the Kentucky coaching search began. So it's a little bit underwhelming, especially the idea that maybe they could have been more aggressive with Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan obviously would have been a bigger name, a bigger splash, somebody with a little bit more of a track record, a lot more of a track record. So from that standpoint, it's a little underwhelming. We'll get into it more, I'm sure. But I do think there are reasons to believe that Mark Pope could be a good coach at Kentucky, though.
Well, let me tell you the reasons Mark Pope could be a good coach at Kentucky, because anybody should. Anybody should be able to win at Kentucky. Like, it should be harder to lose at Kentucky or not do well at Kentucky than it is to actually succeed at Kentucky. It's set up for you to succeed. Now, it can be complicated and overwhelming and all of the things that it has been, for decades. Don't ever let it get lost on you that two of the past three Kentucky coaches have voluntarily just said, you know what, I've had enough of this. You know, I'm going to Minnesota or I'm going to Arkansas, but I can't do this anymore. And of course, the one in between them, he got fired after 2 years. So it can be a complicated job, but you are set up to win. And I think Mark Pope's a smart guy, a smart basketball coach, a good basketball coach. And I do think he'll do well at Kentucky. To me, that's not even really the conversation, whether he'll do well at Kentucky. He did well at BYU, relatively speaking, but like well at BYU, particularly in this year one in the Big 12. I think he'll be fine. But you're right, it is underwhelming, particularly when the prevailing thought in the industry, and something I had talked about yesterday on the Eye on College Basketball podcast with Kyle Boone, is that I know Billy Donovan had turned you down multiple times previously, and I know Billy Donovan is still like in this moment coaching in the NBA, but there was a prevailing thought in the industry that he would have really listened to you this time, considered it this time, I laid out on the podcast yesterday all of the reasons why just common sense tells you he would have to listen this time. And according to Norlander, that is all true. But Mitch Barnhart and perhaps other Kentucky officials, but, you know, Mitch is the face of this thing, didn't want to, quote, wait for Billy Donovan's season to end, even though Billy Donovan's season could end quite literally next week. So let's stop here for a second. Is that sensible to you? That let's just play this out, the what we believe to be true right now. Kentucky had an opening. Billy Donovan is the coach of the Chicago Bulls, but would have listened to you if you would have seriously pursued him. But his season might not end until next week, so we didn't want to wait on that. Does that make sense to you, not waiting on Billy Donovan?
It makes sense to me if you're really concerned about the 24-25 season. And in this day and time, it's been proven that a first-year coach can come in and immediately have success. I mean, look no further than South Florida and Amir Abdur-Rahim this past season, or Utah State and what Danny Sprinkle did there. And so if you want to have a great roster next season, a competitive roster, I understand the time crunch and the urgency. However, Billy Donovan is Billy Donovan, right? So I think you got to be willing to play ball with him, reach out to his camp, get a better idea of like how serious would his interest be. And if it's serious, then you wait on a guy like that. That would have been, you know, my thought is if Billy Donovan is interested, we wait. But obviously that's a different direction. And I wonder how much concern over the 24-25 roster really took precedent in that decision not to potentially wait around for Billy Donovan.
I'm sure it played a role. You know, again, we're probably talking about a week. So like, here's what you're asking yourself. And I want to be clear on this. There is a scenario where Mitch Barnhart or somebody else comes out and says, listen, guys, I don't care what the reporting is. We're not stupid. Of course, we pursued Billy Donovan, and we were led to believe he was not going to make himself a serious candidate, so we decided to move on. At that point, we're having a different conversation. That is not what the reporting is right now, though. According to Norlander, the reporting is not that they decided they couldn't get Billy Donovan, or they knew Billy Donovan wasn't really interested, or Billy Donovan hates college basketball more than he hates anything in this world, and he would never come back under any circumstances. That's not the reporting. The reporting is that Billy Donovan was open to being pursued. He was open-minded about it for all of the obvious reasons. Like, he's in year four in Chicago right now. He's already missed the playoffs twice. He's about to be in the play-in. That means odds are his season ends next week. I don't know that they do hot seat lists for NBA coaches, but if they do one, he would be on it heading into next season. So Billy Donovan's options are no longer coaching Florida or coaching Kentucky or coaching Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook or coaching Kentucky or coaching, or coaching year one of the Chicago Bulls or taking a job in college. His options for next year, presumably, were to enter the season on the hot seat with the Bulls, a mediocre Eastern Conference franchise that appears to be going nowhere, or be the head coach at Kentucky. Well, those are things that any sensible person would have to consider. So the reporting is that he was open-minded to it, but they simply did not want to wait. I think that's a mistake. Now, if you come out and say, hey, listen, it's not that we didn't want to wait on Billy Donovan. We zeroed in on Mark Pope, and I decided this is the guy for the job. Like, this wasn't, we can take Mark Pope now or wait on Billy Donovan. This was, I think Mark Pope's the best guy for this job after we've been passed on by Dan Hurley and Scott Drew. I think Mark Pope's the guy, and that's the person I want to hire. I believe in him independent of anything else. It's hard for me to argue with that because I frankly have been offered jobs before where you would think maybe somebody else should get the offer before me, but somebody believed in me and like, thank God. So if you just believe in Mark Pope, then you just believe in Mark Pope. You just better be right about it or else it would cost you your job. But I fundamentally think if the only reason Billy Donovan isn't the head coach at Kentucky, say a week from now or 2 weeks from now or 2 months from now, is because you didn't want to wait out this season, I think that's fundamentally a mistake.
Yeah, I'm with you. Also, where was Brad Underwood? Where was TJ Otzelberger? Where was Shaka Smart in this search. A lot of guys whose names I would have put above Mark Pope in the hierarchy of who Kentucky should pursue. And it leads you to believe that Mark Pope's status as a former national championship player under Rick Pitino at Kentucky likely had a heavy influence on this, because without that, is he the new coach of the Kentucky Wildcats? It seems unlikely that a coach with his track record would have gotten into the mix so quickly at Kentucky without having played two seasons there, you know, 25 plus years ago.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, if he's not a Kentucky graduate, he's not even under consideration here. This is well known, and it was starting to get tweeted around last night. You know, he played with Jeff Shepard, who's the father of Reed Shepard. Does that have an influence in maybe getting Reed Shepard back to Kentucky? I don't know. Most people who are projected to be top 10 picks, they just enter the NBA draft, with few exceptions. This is obviously an interesting and unique situation with the family stuff connected to UK. So I'm not ruling out that could play a role in bringing Reed Shepard back to college basketball. Is that really why you're hiring somebody to get one player for one more year? I mean, that's been done before in college basketball. I believe Frank Martin got the Kansas State job primarily to just ensure that Michael Beasley enrolled as planned. So perhaps that plays a role in it. But to your point, if Mark Pope isn't a, quote, Kentucky graduate, he's not even on this list. And by all accounts, Mitch Barnhart, in addition to not seriously pursuing Billy Donovan, did not seriously pursue Bruce Pearl, TJ Otzelberger, or any of the other coaches, Chris Beard, who were on, you know, some list or even in the betting markets listed as possible candidates for UK. So this is Mitch Barnhart's decision. Like, he is putting his legacy on this in some ways. Once upon a time, he didn't want to hire, quote, somebody like John Calipari. Like, I remember this vividly. You know, when Tubby Smith left, John Calipari wanted to be the Kentucky coach then. And Mitch Barnhart didn't want to hire somebody like John Calipari. So he hired Billy Gillespie. And that was a disaster for a variety of reasons. And then he understood, I can't miss again. So go out and get the sure thing. And the sure thing at that time was John Calipari. And for, the most part, it worked well. And then it dipped off. And now here we are. But this is the next hire. And I don't think he can afford to miss on it. And so he's really putting not only Kentucky basketball in the hands of, how about this? We don't have to say it good. We don't have to say good or bad, because I'm predicting good things for Mark Pope, because I'll always predict good things for the Kentucky coach. I think you should win there. But you ready for this? The least accomplished coach that Kentucky has ever hired in my lifetime. That's who they just hired. I mean, a guy who has been a head coach at the Division I level for 9 years. He's made two NCAA tournaments in 9 years. He has zero NCAA tournament wins. He has zero conference championships in the past three seasons. He's finished fifth in the West Coast Conference. And then he moved to the Big 12 and he finished fifth in the Big 12. That's who Kentucky just hired. It might go brilliantly, but that is the least accomplished coach Kentucky has hired in my lifetime.
Yeah, Gary, he's also a them. Have you thought about that a whole lot?
It popped into my head. He worked at a place filled with thems. I'm not certain Mark Pope is a them. I don't feel comfortable labeling him. Do you feel comfortable? I'd have to talk to him about it.
I'm just saying there's a lot of signs that
I know. I see the same stuff you're seeing. I know what you're saying. I'm just saying I don't know Mark Pope like that. I'd have to talk to him about it.
He was a medical school student when he decided to get out of medical school and go into coaching, because, you know, he played in the NBA. Here's some good stuff on Mark Pope. I don't know if this gets you excited if you're a Kentucky fan, but think about the people he was teammates with in the NBA. Reggie Miller, Jalen Rose, Sam Cassell, Glenn Robinson, Ray Allen, Carmelo Anthony, Marcus Camby, Kenyon Martin. Those are guys that Mark Pope played with in the NBA. And then after he played in the NBA, he went to medical school for a couple of years. I think he was entering year three. Really good profile on him in the Deseret News out in Salt Lake. And he was in med school and then really just felt the itch to get back into basketball. And so he and his wife made the decision, we're gonna drop out of med school. And he went to take a low-level spot on the Georgia staff under Mark Fox. And that was in the 2009-10 season. And then, you know, ever since, he's kind of climbed the ranks through the coaching profession. So just a unique story, interesting guy. He runs good stuff. I think he'll be able to recruit to Kentucky because in this day and time, it's not so much about how cool you are or how flashy you are. It's about how much money the players can make at your school. And Kentucky's going to be paying Mark Pope $3 million per year less than they were paying John Calipari. They didn't have to pay a $30-plus million buyout. They didn't have to pay an $18 million buyout on somebody like a Nate Oates. So really, there's a lot of financial factors here that suggest to me that Kentucky is going to be well-equipped in the NIL space because of how much money they've saved with kind of going the budget-friendly route. And they might still be overpaying Mark Pope at $5.5 million, but it's still significantly less than Cal was making, which should, you know, they can reroute some of that stuff into NIL. And then you think about the buyouts they didn't have to pay during this transition. And they should be sitting pretty there in the coffers in terms of going out and being able to get talent.
They absolutely should be. And it should be a priority to make sure that Mark Pope has not just among the best NIL packages to use in college basketball. If I'm Kentucky, nobody's going to outbid us for anything, period. This is never a situation where like there's all this money sitting in a pot. And if you don't grab it for this, you can grab it for that. It's not quite like that, but I do think it's helpful to think of it like that. There is a scenario where if Kentucky wanted to get rid of John Calipari, it was going to cost them at least, on paper, in excess of $30 million. Now there's offset language in the contract and if John worked again and all that stuff, but like millions of dollars that, to your point, they never have to pay. If you were going to go out and hire a Billy Donovan or a Dan Hurley or a Scott Drew or a Nate Oates, it was going to cost you more than $5.5 million per year. So in theory, you're saving money there. You're exactly right. If I'm Kentucky and I am making, let's just call it a risky hire, certainly something less, it's less than a sure thing that some other things would have perceived to have been. I'm now going to say, okay, we're reaching a little bit here. We're hiring one of our own. He's not the biggest name. He hasn't accomplished as much as some of these other people. Other people think we should have hired. But man, if he doesn't do well here, it ain't going to be because we didn't set him up to do well here. Here is the, what do we think it cost? Like I would, what does it cost to build the number one basketball roster in America these days? If somebody said $6 million, you know what I'd say? All right, here's eight. Go. What does it cost to build the best basketball roster in America these days? That's about $10 million, which it's not, but let's play along. You need 10 to do that? Sure. Okay, here's 12. Go. Overdo it. Set him up to succeed, because here's the thing. If you don't set him up to succeed and he fails, then a whole bunch of people fail. A whole bunch of things are damaged. The most important thing at Kentucky right now is for Mark Pope. Regardless of how you feel about it, if you're a Kentucky fan or a Kentucky booster, the most important thing for Kentucky basketball right now is for Mark Pope to succeed. And if I were them, I would make sure he has every penny he needs to succeed in that NIL space. I want to take a break real quick, come back, and then ask you a broader question about college basketball coaching searches, because there was a controversial comment made in the lead up to Scott Drew's announcement that he was remaining at Baylor. But I think there's like some truth to it that dictates how these things often unfold. We'll do that next. First, real quick, though, a word from our partners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So in the lead up to Scott Drew eating Mexican food with a big Baylor booster and then deciding to turn down Kentucky to remain in Waco, Chip Gaines, who is a reality TV star who lives in Waco or certainly the area, was going back and forth with Kentucky media and Kentucky fans. And they were talking about all of the money that Kentucky could throw at Scott Drew. And Chip tweeted something along the lines of, money is boring. Everybody has money. And that got twisted into, like, you know, it's probably not the smartest thing to tweet because everybody doesn't have money. And there are people struggling. And there were people reading that tweet who are trying to figure out, like, how they're going to pay their mortgage this month. So I'm certain, I don't know Chip Gaines, but I'm certain if he could take that back, and I guess you can, all you got to do is hit delete. But I'm certain if he could take that back, he would. I do think his larger point is kind of true in the context of college basketball coaching now. In the sense that, no, everybody doesn't have money, but every major college basketball coach does. They're all rich now in a way that didn't used to be true. I can even remember there were times in my adult life, so like, you know, past 25 years or so, where coaches would be offered contracts from schools and it was like a no-brainer, like you just have to go because of the money. You just have to go because you can't turn down that kind of money. I couldn't help but notice that right now, you know, in this coaching cycle, we've probably had three of the top 10 to 15 jobs in America open up. And you ready for this? Mark Pope is the coach at Kentucky. Pat Kelsey is the coach at Louisville. And Jake Diebler is the coach at Ohio State. Because in some cases, they might have hired exactly who they wanted to hire, whatever. But it is true that when you throw out guys like Nate Oates and Scott Drew and Dan Hurley and TJ Otzelberger and Bruce Pearl, they do all have money, lots of it. And I think it's harder than ever for even a place like Kentucky to just buy a basketball coach. Like Scott Drew looked at this, and I guess he could have made more money at Kentucky than he does at Baylor, although Baylor could probably match anything. But Scott Drew didn't have to make a decision based on money because he has so much of it already. And you do get to a point, most of us don't ever get to a point, but certain people do get to a point where the amount of money you're making in a year no longer really matters that much. Like your life is your life. Your house is your house. Your cars are your cars. Your beach home is your beach home. And it really just comes down to your happiness. Like where do I work? Where do I live? Who am I surrounded by? An extra million a year or $2 million a year doesn't change my life in any positive way anymore. I just read a story this morning where Taylor Swift was offered like $9 million by some family to do a private show overseas, and she turned it down. Now, I guarantee you there was a point in Taylor Swift's life where $9 million to do one show? Are you kidding me? I fly around the world five times to do that. But she's reached a point in her life where she doesn't need that $9 million anymore as much as she needs not to make that trip and do that show because it's just like it ain't worth it to her. Her life's fine the way it is. And I really do think we've reached a point with power conference, high major basketball coaches where even if you are Kentucky, Louisville, Iowa, Ohio State, a school of that magnitude, you really can't just buy them anymore because, like Chip Gaines said, perhaps inappropriately, but you got the point, everybody has money now. What do you make of all that?
Yeah, in this day and time, you can also win at so many programs.
Yeah.
Scott Drew will have a statue, in all likelihood, in his likeness one day on that Baylor campus. He won a national championship at Baylor, a program that he literally built from the ashes. There's a certain legacy that he has there and a comfort for his family there, too. And there's something to be said for that. You look around the country, there's other examples. I mean, Mark Few choosing to remain at Gonzaga for as long as he has because he can win there and he's got a legacy there. That's one thing I think is somewhat different about college basketball than college football. In college football, I do think that you're more likely to see a coach jump because, oh, I think I can win a national title there. But in college basketball, it feels like there's a lot of places where coaches believe they can win national titles, even places where maybe it hasn't been proven before. I think about Greg McDermott being happy at Creighton and now going into year 15 there when there were opportunities for him to take other jobs. And so, yeah, there's a quality of life factor, a lack of pressure factor. Look at Eric Musselman leaving Arkansas. Arkansas men's basketball is right there with Arkansas football as the biggest show in that state where there are no professional sports, where there is no other power conference university. He left that spotlight to go to USC to be the coach of USC basketball, which is probably the 10th or 11th biggest show in the LA metropolitan area. And so there's something to be said for that lack of pressure, that lack of visibility, even to a certain extent. And obviously Scott Drew is the king of Waco, but the pressure of Kentucky and the visibility of it and the national profile of it, to some, that may be as much of a con as it is a pro, because you're in the spotlight there in a way that you just aren't really anywhere else in college basketball.
Well, there was some thought that, you know, when Dusty May was weighing the pros and cons of opportunities in front of him, that being the second most important coach on campus at Michigan is more appealing than being, you know, the face of everything in the city of Louisville. Like, now that wouldn't be true for everybody. Like Rick Pitino, I think, would rather be the face of Louisville than the second most important coach at Michigan. But other people might not like to run to that light as much as a John Calipari or a Rick Pitino would run to that light. So, you know, different strokes, different folks, all that stuff. But, you know, you bring up Mark Few. The man Mark Few replaced at Gonzaga, Dan Munson, is like the face of, I can't turn down this money. I don't think Dan Munson wanted to leave Gonzaga for Minnesota when he left it. In fact, I know he didn't. I've talked to him about it. But it was life-changing, family-changing money. And in that moment, it wasn't even a conversation. Like, this is what you can make here, and this is what you can make there. You have to go. But you know, Gonzaga and lots of other schools around the country have made it where you don't ever have to make a career choice for money anymore. We've all got the money. We can pay you the money. You know, if we have to find it, we'll find it. But you don't have to leave us for money. It used to be there were only a handful of schools that you wouldn't have to leave for money. Now there's a whole big handful. And I think you made an interesting point there that I had never really thought of. In football, it still does sort of line up like, well, if you ever want to win a national championship, I guess you got to take the Alabama job, or you got to take the Clemson job, or you got to take the LSU job, or the Oklahoma job, or the USC job. It seems like in basketball, there's, I don't know, you tell me whatever the number is of places in football you can realistically like have dreams of winning a national championship, not making the playoff or winning a conference title, but like realistically winning a national title. You tell me whatever that number is in football, and I'll tell you in basketball, it's probably three times that.
Right. Yeah. It's what, 8 to 10? You saw Brian Kelly leave Notre Dame
for
LSU. And so that's a major indictment there. You saw Lincoln Riley leave Oklahoma for USC. We're not seeing that in college basketball.
Right. Right. Those guys are staying at Oklahoma now and staying at Notre Dame now on the basketball side. But on the football side, they still jump because it's obvious, at least to them, and I'll trust them, they know their business better than I know it. It seems clear to them that there's levels to it. And there are things you can do at LSU that maybe you can't do at Notre Dame, and things you can do at USC that maybe you can't do at Oklahoma. But like Nate Oates is sitting there and looking and going, I can do everything at Alabama that I could do at Kentucky. And Scott Drew, like, you know, he won a national championship at Baylor. That by definition proves you can win a national championship at Baylor. So I do think the hiring process is more difficult than it's ever been. And that's probably something to keep in mind as we watch the coaching carousel spend every offseason. But just to circle back to the Mark Pope hire, then we'll get out of here. I don't think it's a mistake to hire Mark Pope. If we're trying to bottom line this whole thing, I don't think it's a mistake to hire Mark Pope if you believe in Mark Pope. He is, by all accounts, a smart guy, runs a you know, modern offense. He's, I suspect he'll do well there because I think smart people, whenever they are placed in a position to succeed, they typically do. I just think if there's a mistake here, and I'm sure Mitch Barnhart will be asked about this publicly, and he'll have to address it. If the reporting is correct, and I have no reason to believe that it's not, if Matt Norlander's reporting is correct, that Mitch Barnhart simply didn't want to wait for the Chicago Bulls season to be over, I think that is a mistake. If you would have, I know timing is important and the transfer portal's open, but if you could have had Billy Donovan next week, but chose not to simply because you didn't want to wait till next week, I feel like that's something that Kentucky fans might not let you forget if this doesn't go well.
The idea of Kentucky fans like actively rooting against the Chicago Bulls so they could get Billy Donovan in time to land a few transfers is kind of funny to think about. But I would say this, Kentucky fans are not excited in the immediate aftermath of the hire, but when Mark Pope gets up there, tells the joke about how he wasn't his wife.
Oh God.
He'll go that route. And then he'll tell a few stories about winning a national championship at Kentucky under Rick Pitino while playing with some of the best players to ever come through that program. And the fans will start to warm up to him a little bit.
That's right. Like Pat, you know, all it took was one Pat Kelsey press conference and Louisville fans were like, all right, that's all you can. What else can you do other than get behind the guy? Just stay mad all the time. Like at some point you just have to like, all right, this is our coach. I hope it goes well. And I suspect that's what they'll do. If Mark Pope is watching this or anybody close to Mark Pope is watching this, to your point, please stop him from using that joke. That like even when Pat used it at Louisville and it got a chuckle, I guess it works. I guess it works every time. But my God, it's not funny. It was funny the first time the first guy said it. But that was 30 years ago and 30,000 coaches ago. Like, I got it. You know, I wasn't my wife's first choice either. Okay, we got it. Don't use that. Can we come up with something new? There's got to be a new adaptation of that. I'll work on it. I'll brainstorm it and work on it. But please don't use the, you know, this is my wife. And, you know, I wasn't her first choice either. Ha, ha, ha. Don't do that.
Yeah, you also got to be careful, you know, coming from BYU.
It's tough. It's tough. There's a lot going on. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting times. So now BYU is open, and they're going to hire a basketball coach, and we probably won't have a special episode connected to that one. But, you know, it is a Big 12 job, so a Big 12 job is open, you know. Hey, who wants to coach in the toughest league in America at BYU? This could be your lucky day.
Yeah, that's actually low-key one of the most impressive parts about Mark Pope's resume. The fact that he led BYU to a winning record in the Big 12, when the previous season they'd been sub 500 in the WCC. So kudos to Mark Pope. I watched an interesting clip of him the other day. He gave a lot of credit to his staff for finding a niche that would allow them to succeed in the Big 12. And that niche was shooting a lot of threes, making a lot of threes. So this guy, he's got some pretty good offensive tactician to him, and he did a really good job to have BYU above 500 in a really tough league. So I mean, he can coach. This is not Kenny Payne. This is a proven college basketball coach to some degree.
There's no question. And oh, by the way, BYU, I had top 15 and the top 25 and one. Now I think when I update later today, I might just remove them for now because like they're not going to hold that together. You know, I imagine that you'll see a BYU player or two because like I believe the whole rotation was coming back. Like he was returning nearly everybody at BYU. So I would assume now some of those are going to get in the transfer portal. They'll head to Lexington. That's the way this stuff usually works. So I might just have to remove BYU from the top 25 and one for now. Eventually, I imagine Kentucky is going to end up in there. Eventually, Arkansas is going to have a team and end up in there. But he is walking away from a good team. You know, he built a good team at BYU, and he was going to have a good team at BYU. But obviously, you're a Kentucky graduate. Kentucky calls. None of that stuff matters. You get to Lexington just as fast as you can. So we'll wait for the official release, press conference to come in Lexington. Mark Pope, your new head coach at Kentucky, and we'll see what BYU does next. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Terry M. F. Teagle. He's a legend. Huck Larnell. Thanks, you, David Kopp, for being here. I appreciate you on such a short notice, and I appreciate everybody watching, listening to the Eye on College Basketball podcast. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe. Anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, more of us than there are of them. That should be reflected. Do that. We'll talk to you again real soon. Till then, take care.
CBS Friday. TV's hottest show is Fire Country.
I'm not a hero. I'm in orange for a reason.
They're taking 12 months off your sentence. You're free.
Lady.
With a special epic season finale.
Now that I'm out, I need something to get me up in the morning.
You are a firefighter.
Used to be.
That will be unforgettable.
In the name of your life's happiness, go get your girl.
She's getting married tomorrow.
Says, when do you let anything get in the way of what you want?
The Fire Country season finale, Friday, 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.